So we're going to take a little different talk here and talk about environmental regulations. And I wanted to explain I have no financial relationships to disclose. The reason that I can talk about this is I was out doing some review of some recycling facilities for health and safety purposes. As a health and safety professional that I've also had responsibility for environmental issues, you can't help but notice some of the environmental issues that are out there, and so I decided to focus mine on the environmental side. We did talk to several employees, and we asked them about their job duties. We asked them about the training that they receive, any kind of personal protective equipment they have, and then we took a facility tour. So my comments are limited to solid waste recycling facilities, which of course encompasses a number of things. So my question to you is, what do you see here? And you all have a reaction to that. Some of you would be very excited that the winter is coming, other of us not so much. But this is a picture that appeared on the front page of the Chicago Tribune. And unfortunately, it's very small on this screen, but you can see that the safety glasses are on top of the head. You probably can't see the hearing protection that's hanging around his neck. This man is 24 years old, already wearing a back brace, and you can see his posture isn't so good. My point being that most people looked at this picture on the front of page of the Chicago Tribune and didn't see any of these things. So I tend to look at things a little differently, as I'm assuming most of you do, and that's why I'm going to talk about today, the things that I saw. Just some statistics, 136 million tons of solid waste in 2010. Each of us is generating over 4 pounds of waste a day, and you'll notice San Francisco is going for zero waste, so you'll see all of the waste containers and the recycling containers out there. We were able to recycle 34% of our waste in 2010. Instead of picking up your luggage, if you think about workers pulling off different types of recycling materials off a conveyor belt and sorting them into various bins, that's what these folks are doing on a daily basis. Items that don't get picked off, they let run off into a catch-all bin at the end of the conveyor. And it might look something like this. And again, this is difficult to see. I guess the lighting isn't so good in here. But this is actually uploading. This gentleman is putting various waste papers onto a conveyor. You really can't see. There is some cardboard over here that he's pulling off to recycle cardboard in a separate area. So I visited four different facilities. One of them I considered to be very, very good. One of them was located near a large body of water, and they were only permitted to accept dry waste. So there was nothing that they could put into their waste stream. So that was paper, aluminum, plastics, and they had no discharge permit. One of the other facilities I visited was doing everything from composting, grass clippings. You see the composting bins out here, the things that they can recycle, paper, plastics, construction and demolition waste, which we don't often think of as being recyclable, but in many instances it is. We're talking about wood, concrete, metals, and wallboard. And so any kind of discharge to the sewer system is going to require a permit. That's pretty standard material. We don't often think about somebody having to pull off wallboard off a conveyor belt. Some of these activities can be very interesting. So what did I see? I saw a lot of dust and suspended particulate. We've talked about that. And we might be looking at PM10. We might be looking at PM2.5. Think about demolition waste of older homes. There's evidence out there, and it's going to depend on the day, but some of that material has certainly got some lead-based paint in it. So you have a potential for lead exposures into the environment, and of course, the PM10, the PM2.5, and the lead are criteria pollutants. So you may need an air pollution permit, a Title V permit, to release this to the atmosphere, or there may be a need to collect it in a dust collection system. But those are criteria pollutants on top of everything else being toxic to the employees. I did see dust masks in use. I saw them worn incorrectly or not worn at all. One employee had about five others under his hard hat. And when you ask him, you know, why, he may not be able to get them, which is kind of telling of the employer. Again, many of these folks are temporary workers, so they haven't received a lot of the training and instruction you'd like to see. But they could definitely use some more training on the use of personal protective equipment. When you see somebody wearing something upside down, it kind of really is disturbing to you. So there is a lot of dust in the area, and the employees do recognize that. There are issues. It was very loud, as you might imagine, and hearing protection was available, probably could be used a little better. But from the environmental standpoint, you have to remember that these facilities have sprouted up almost overnight, and now they're running at full capacity, 24 hours a day. There are big trucks bringing in the waste operations, and so there's environmental noise as well as noise inside the plant. So you need to be aware of those considerations. And then some things end up there that really shouldn't end up at the recycling facility. And one of the biggies that concerned me was hazardous waste, things that are flammable, corrosive, ignitable, or reactive waste streams. Also infectious waste. Sometimes we found that the employees talked about sometimes they were getting needle sticks on the job. And then we've all seen, I've seen discarded appliances on the side of the road. They get to the recycling facilities, and there's special requirements for the removal of the fluorocarbons. So before we can discard the appliance, we have to remove the freons. And that requires some specially trained individuals and some capture devices. And so there are regulations concerning this. You can't just pick up a refrigerator and take it to the recycling facility, throw it in the dump anymore. So you need to be aware of that if you've got appliances that you're picking up. Infectious waste is another issue. The employees did report occasional needle sticks, and sometimes these things get into the recycling bin. It's a concern from the perspective of the OSHA bloodborne pathogen standard. All of the employees we talked to had received the tetanus vaccine. They were offered the hepatitis B vaccine, but again, these are temporary workers. The hepatitis B is a series of three vaccinations, and so it's questionable whether that would be really have kicked in. So you really need employees that kind of know what they're doing if they should encounter infectious waste. The last thing is hazardous waste, things like chemicals, paints, solvents. In my area, they have special collection days for these sorts of things, so they get to the right place. We did see a facility where they actually were consolidating different kinds of paints, and the thing that applies there is, of course, the HAZWOPER. If it's a big enough facility, the employees need to know if they're going to consolidate chemicals, what those chemicals might be. So they need proper training, and they certainly need to be properly protected. And let's see, I guess I already talked about that. One of the concerns that I have is if they're accepting this hazardous waste, they now have to get rid of it, so they become a generator. So there are hazardous waste generator requirements, and as very interesting. On the EPA website, they talk about a user-friendly guide to the hazardous waste regulations. and it's 465 pages long. So it was very user-friendly. It's very long and involved. So there are three types of hazardous waste generators: conditionally exempt, which is where you definitely want to be if you're picking up occasional hazardous waste. That's anything less than 100 kilograms a month. And so you have very few requirements as far as record keeping, storage, those sorts of things. However, if you get over 100 kilograms a month, you become a small quantity generator. And at that point, you're looking at record keeping, you're looking at training requirements, you're looking at storage requirements, you need a facility ID number, and on and on. If you've got more than 1,000 kilograms, you become a large quantity generator. And again, the regulations become more restrictive. So you really need to be careful if you're getting these kind of materials into the facility to get rid of them as soon as possible, be my recommendation to you. And there are some states that have different quantity limits, so you may not qualify as conditionally exempt in some of these states. There are 10 of them. I'm not sure I can name them all. California is one. Maryland, D.C., Vermont, some of your northeastern states. So if this comes to the facility by accident or on an occasional basis, you really need to make arrangements to get it off the property as soon as possible. Interestingly, you don't have to maintain records if you're conditionally exempt small quantity generator, but I guess my philosophy on that is, how do I prove you're not small quantity if you can't prove that you've been collecting these things less than 100 kilograms a month? So I like records. So in summary, I couldn't possibly go through all of the environmental regulations that may apply. I tried to hit on the major ones. Individual states have their own plans, and most of them follow the federal guidelines. Several states have, the guidelines have to be as stringent as the federal regulations. Some states have much more stringent regulations. They can always be more stringent than the federal regulations. And depending on what type of waste you accept and what type of waste you receive at the facility is really going to determine what environmental regulations apply to the facility. You've also got OSHA requirements and certainly DOT regulations if you're shipping off-site. So with that, Dr. Peter Orris was the gentleman that got me involved in this, and special thanks to the Teamsters Union. And I guess I have time for questions. There are any?
Yes, I have a question. I know in occupational health, you can't be more stringent than OSHA. According to the Gade decision, states can't because occupational regulations are occupied by OSHA regulations. That's my understanding in federal states. That's not true in environmental. States can be
more... Well, I think I've always been told, and I'm under the impression, that you can always do better than an OSHA standard.
Not according to the Gade decision. Anyone, experts out there on the Gade decision? Yes, if you have state, but if you're in a federal state.
What?
Did people hear that? There have been legislative attempts to make it possible to become more stringent.
Right. I do have the microphone up here. The comment was that there has been attempts through Congress to make state regulations more stringent, but they have not passed through the government. So But it's all, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if you're an employer, you can always be do better than an OSHA standard.
If you're an employer.
You don't, it's not necessarily enforceable.
Yes.
But you can always do better than an OSHA standard. Did you have a comment? So the question is, the comment is we should be recycling more. And yes, ma'am. So the question was the communities involved with the facility in minimizing the hazards? I'm not aware of any efforts to reach out to the neighborhoods surrounding the facilities. I will tell you that in a couple of the facilities I saw, people were bringing waste to the facility. So the community was involved in recycling from that respect and that they were bringing the waste themselves. But the big mystery. It really depends. I mean, you can have, if you think about some of the waste streams, plastics go in one direction, paper goes in another direction, aluminum cans go in another direction. You may have something, you may have a magnet to pick up metals and put it into another bin. The construction and demolition waste facilities that I saw, I thought were rather dangerous because the employees were taking things off a conveyor and putting it into an open floor. So you could see, you know, the bin was below the floor. These were all elevated conveyors. And I thought that was a little concern. That was a little concerning to me. There are, if you look at the incidents, the injuries in the recycling industry, there are many and varied. Failures are particularly fatal for employees. But you'll see slips, trips, falls, people falling through holes in the floor. Yes, ma'am. Is it going to be posted?
I don't know.
I think they're going to be posted. I think they're. Okay. Right. There's a way to get it if you leave me your card. Leave me your card. Did you have another question?
Yes, I did. What about instead of recycling, what about making the producers,
Well, that's. Well, sometimes it comes back, and sometimes they can reuse it, but that's a little out of my range of my presentation.